I appreciate, let me say at this point, I appreciate the opportunity to come and to share with you in a little mini-series out of the book of Ephesians. It has been my joy to come and to be with you. It is difficult with only today to try to pick a particular passage. And we kind of zeroed in on chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 today. I appreciate your prayers. We were out in the city. I took David with me last night, and God was with us, and he was faithful, and we just had some greatly encouraging encounters and conversations on the night. And by the time I think that we had delivered the others back home and loaded everything back up in the car and whatever, we arrived back at the house about, I don't know, four, maybe a little before that or something like that in the morning. So, but, you know, it was very invigorating to be out there and to be sharing and to be in those kinds of conversations that we had last night. So another occasion, another time, I'll tell you more about what happened on the night. So David and I are still kind of talking and debriefing. I'll tell you a couple of things. One thing is, we were passing out those water bottles. They thought we were introducing a new drink, that we were some kind of drink company giving out drinks. So that was one thing we had to sort out. Then others of them thought we were going to be at Keystone's this morning from 4 to 6 a.m. Yay. So, you know, you print stuff and you talk to them, and, you know, there's all those kinds of communication details. So those ones that showed up at Keystone's at 4 were greatly disappointed. We weren't there. We'll be there this afternoon. But there were some interesting conversations as we shared with those who came by. People want to know what's going on when you're giving something away free. They know there's a hook. Society, culture, advertising says there's a hook, and they wanted to know what that hook was. And when you tell them there's no hook, oh, that makes them want to know even more what that hook really is. So we'll continue to go and continue to do that. And God was good to us last night in what we did. I love in the writings of Paul how he begins those letters that he writes, oftentimes with great doctrinal themes that are just incredibly deep. That really, chapter 1 of Ephesians, we could spend a year just looking at that and unpacking the truths that are found in Ephesians 1. But one of the things that I love about the writings of Paul is that sooner or later, with the theology and with the doctrine and with all of that, it comes down to, here's practically how you live it out. And that is so important in our lives. And sometimes as Christians, we have erred to the side of a great mind and heart knowledge, but a limited outpouring of obedience and expression of our faith. And Jesus said that so often when he spoke, "He that hath ears, let him hear." And when I was a kid, I used to read that. I said, man, what kind of a plague had come that those people didn't have ears? Well, they had ears. What he was saying was, don't just hear what I'm saying, but take it into your mind and your heart and live it out in obedience. And boy, I love that even in Ephesians. You get down to these last chapters, and this is how it's lived out. Out of reverence for Christ, we honor and love and respect and submit to one another. So it's wonderful. We're going to look at chapter 5. And I know that with communion and that 42-minute children's talk we did today, that the message needs to be cut down to about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So I'm at 15 minutes, about 15 minutes. And so we'll do that. But again, I think these points that Paul makes will just lock into your heart. And when I read from the scripture, then I ask God through the week not only to keep reminding me of that, but giving me the opportunities to live it out in obedience to Him. And so hopefully that will be the case even today. He begins chapter 5 with this command, this imperative: be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Wow, we really could just stop there. Just focus on that. Be imitators of God. And he goes on and he lays out these contrasts. And he's talking about, since we've been redeemed, since we are a part of the church, since we are the community of believers, here's how our lives ought to live in a contrast to those outside in the world. And so he's making these things, and he talks here, there should not be any hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity and foolish talk or coarse joking. No immoral, impure, or greedy persons such as this, an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, then he makes that contrast in verse 8. I'm probably not anywhere on these, so you just put up what you want. When you're done, we're done. He says here in verse 8, for once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Darkness, now you're light. And then he makes this comment about light. He says that live as children of the light. Verse 9, he says, for the fruit, fruitfulness. Well, I have just been reminded in so many ways recently in my life that my Christian life is about fruitfulness. It is about fruitfulness. And he says here that fruitfulness consists of goodness and righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. So we're going to look at that, and these verses we're just going to pick up. Now, I titled this, Rise and Shine, knowing I was going to be out all night. It just seemed like a great title for this. And you just shout it out and I'll wake up and we'll rise and shine. But Paul writes that right here in the middle of this chapter. When you look down there about verse 14, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wow, what a challenge that is to us. But then he goes ahead and he gives to us these three commands of how children of the light ought to live. Notice what he says. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? When the Bible speaks of wisdom, it's intended to be far more than just knowledge. You remember we said a couple of weeks ago that when Paul refers to wisdom, he's talking about understanding how God is at work in Christ Jesus and the activity of Christ that is happening in our midst. Solomon said about wisdom that wisdom is not only knowing what's right, but doing what is right. And you catch that here with Paul when he gives these practical expressions. Be careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity. He's talking here about the right use of time, using it to discover and practice the will of God. It gives us a motivation for wisdom, because the days are evil. I don't want to just pull all illustrations, but I tell you what, to go into the city at night and to see what's going on there, one can conclude that there is that challenge that is out there, that the days are indeed evil. And so he says here that we ought to redeem the time. As I get older, I do think more about the importance of redeeming the time. And in fact, I've got something for you that'll kind of shake you up here. and I can do that because my car's running, and I just go right out and jump in it and be done. But I saw this, I heard this from John Lloyd Ogilvy, and he and talking about redeeming the time, he took the Bible context of 70 years each one of us is given, and if we get a bit more, and he put that into a working day. So 6 o'clock in the morning, and I cut it off at 10 o'clock at night, and then I put the 70 years in there. Okay, now hang on to your seat and get the full implication of what I'm going to show you. Let's pop it up there. At 12 noon, 27 years old. 12 noon, 27 years old. Here's you figure where you're at. I'm the 57. I'm 57 years old. In a day, that means that's the time. 8 o'clock. Wow. That's part of my day, and energy could be over. It's in my mind what I'm going to do with the days and how I'm going to redeem the time. Now, I'm looking. I just went up to 70 because I know most of you are in that 30 to 50 range. And so we're good to go on that. And I only went to 10 o'clock at night because, you know, for me, after 10 o'clock, there's no energy left in me. See, I'm counting going in to the city as starting a new day. That's how I'm doing that. But, you know, wow. You know, putting your life in a day, you still got, you got lunch ahead of you. You got supper time, bedtime snack. Some of you are living on borrowed time, you know, in that respect. And Paul said to them, wow, you want to know how to please the Lord? One of the things is to redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, I'm not advocating here that we don't take breaks for food. I'm not advocating we never watch TV. I'm not advocating that we don't have people over and play board games. I'm at B-O-R-E-D, board games. I'm not advocating that we not do some of those kinds of things, but, and I did the maths on these, so they may not be exactly right. Some of you may have a bit more time in your day. But anyway, the point being, I'm not advocating that we don't do some of those things for enjoyment, but wow, there is a sense in which as we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, as we want to please God, we need to be redeeming the times and making the most of every opportunity. And as we were praying on a way forward for another church plant, this is one of the things that just struck in our hearts and in our minds was the need to reach the next generation with the gospel. And rather than sit around and complain about the graffiti on the walls down at Tesco, or rather than complain about the groups of kids that are hanging out down on the path that are intimidating, let's go out and reach them with the gospel. Let's make a difference in their lives. And there were young people that I spoke with last night that 50 years after I'm dead, they'll still be clicking along and ticking along in their life. What a great opportunity to redeem the time and to reach them with the good news of Jesus. Do others matter? Yes. Yes, they do. And I want to make that clear. But we're looking to invest in the generations that are ahead. Well, godly wisdom is about redeeming the times, and we do need to go on because it's 11:30. Let's go to the next slide and see what in the world it's all about. Oh, that's three. So we lost two. Back up one. If you can, does it go in reverse? There it is. Don't be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. So the second thing he says, if you want to please the Lord, is to know what the Lord's will is. You know, we had a clue there in chapter one when he prayed that we would go deeper in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. My mother has been gone now 15 years. Memories are still vivid with my mother. My mother was part Scottish and part Irish. Woo, what a combination she was. And you know, one of the good things about my mother, you never had to guess what she was thinking about a particular matter or issue or moral thing. I mean, she let you know. She let you know. And I say that to say this. I was privileged. I worked for a guy in the church, and I had a car at 16 years of age. And a lot of my friends did not have cars. And they would come to me, and they'd say, Larry, let's get in your car. Let's go down to Cincinnati, 100 miles away. Let's go to Kings Island Amusement Park for the day, and let's stay at Motel 6 on the night. And I'd say, you want me to go and tell my mother that we're going to go down to Cincinnati and spend the weekend and stay in a Motel 6? And sometimes they'd goad me enough. I'd go tell her. But I knew what her heart was going to say. I knew what her intentions were. I knew what her values were. I knew how she cared about me. So I'd go. I'd hear what she'd say. Oh, would I hear what she would say. And then I'd go back and I'd say to them, not a good idea. And we would go forward. And in a positive way, I think as we walk with the Lord and as we are going deeper and deeper in our intimacy with Him, our heart changes to become like His heart. And as we look around and we see people, wow. A few weeks ago, a girl on the street breaks the heel on her shoe. You know, the heel was like that. What in the world are you? Never mind what you're doing in that sense. And it breaks, and she fell to the pavement. What is the heart of God? What is the will of God in that situation? You know, when we walk with the Lord and we fellowship with Him and we're reading His Word, and we're praying, and we're filled with His Spirit, and we're open, then we will know the will of the Lord, and we'll be able to do it. And He says, finally, number three, He makes the contrast. Don't get drunk on wine. Now, He said this. I didn't make this up. Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, He was not talking about abstinence here or some kind of a lesson against alcohol. What He was doing was contrasting the impact of people who are under the influence of alcohol. And we don't have time today for me to give you enough examples of that. Our first deal walking down the street, I don't know whether David was ready to get back in the car, but this lad who was bigger than me and strappier than me, he was mad at another guy walking down the street. And he's kind of swelling up like a big rooster. Come on, man. And David's walking out in the street. Smart move. I'm walking alongside this guy. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? You know, sort of a deal. But the point being, Paul was saying, don't live your life out of control. Don't live in the way that the heathen do, in lying and in greed and in just nonsense, in wicked, in the pursuit of evil. Don't live that way. Instead, live your life filled with the Holy Spirit, under the control of God's Spirit. And wow, what a difference that will make in who we are. So we're out of time, and they're easy enough to pin and remember. He makes these contrasts. Be imitators of God. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Redeem the times. Redeem the times. Live in such a way that you know the will of God. And live in such a way you're not out of control, but you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. And living in such a way that honors Him. As we were going into the city last night, we did get together there in the city and we prayed. But I was praying another prayer that I didn't pray out loud. But it was a prayer that I was praying, and it was based on Joshua 14. And as I go into the city, I'm often reminded of Joshua 14. And it's the occasion where they're getting ready to take the promised land. And Caleb comes up there and he expresses the deal where he's what? He's about 80 years old, something like that. But listen to what he says. Listen to what he says in chapter 14, beginning with verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as when Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Wow. Imitators of God. Children of the light. Living in such a way that our lives are fruitful. Living in such a way that we understand what pleases the Lord. So that we think in such a way that we are wise, redeeming the times, making the most of every opportunity. That we live in such a way that we know the will of God. That we really understand God's heart and God's purpose and God's will. And that we live in such a way that our lives are not reckless and out of control, but they are controlled and in step with the Holy Spirit. So that's the challenge for you and for me as we go forth today. Let me lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which challenges us and encourages us. We do want to be imitators of you. And even in this village, we want to take on the words of Caleb. And we want to say, we are as strong now in you as we were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Give us that passion. Help us to be vigorous as we seek to proclaim the gospel. We want this village to lift up Jesus and acknowledge him. We want the city of Worcester to be known as the faithful city, not because of an allegiance to a king, but to an allegiance to the King of Kings, Jesus. So we know in order for any of this to happen, we do need to be filled with your Spirit. And with your help, we can continue to move forward, making a difference for eternity. And we desire to do this for your honor and your glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song. And I know what it is because I can look and see. It is, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." We'll stand together and sing this.